Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Sirius XM channel 206 and also the radio.com application. Number to jump on in as always, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Could also interact with us via the good old cesspool of Twitter. At Zach Gelb is where you could follow and tweet me, ZACHGELB, and also at CBS Sports Radio. Got Mikey B and Tom DiBenedetto as well. And we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. A whole lot to do on a very busy Wednesday. We have three guests for you coming up at the top of the hour. His team is in the top 25. He did coach in the national championship game a year ago. Texas Tech's men's head basketball coach, Chris Beard. He's going to stop by, had a tough loss last night to Oklahoma, but that team is going to be dancing the NCAA tournament once again. And they have a very difficult end to their regular season, as they have Texas coming up this weekend, and then they do have Baylor and Kansas on the schedule. So things are going to get a little bit tricky for Texas Tech. But with all they lost a year ago, and the freshman player for them has been, you know, out of this world. He's done a nice job for them, and the two transfers too. They've done a nice job coming off, you know, 2 years where they went to the Elite Eight. And then they did go to the Final Four national championship game, and they'll be back in the NCAA tournament this year, being third currently right now in the Big 12. Coming up at 8:40 p.m. Eastern, 5:40 p.m. Pacific, we will head down to the site of the Combine, and we'll talk with the former NFL player, get all of his thoughts on the Combine, and also this CBA mess with former Minnesota Viking and Charger in Ben Lieber, now a part of the Vikings radio network. And at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, that would be 6 p.m. Pacific, former NBA general manager Wes Wilcox will join us as we will chat some hoops in addition to a very busy show on this Wednesday. Okay, so let's start things off with the NBA, actually. A lot of NBA last night, as we're clearly well into the second half of the season. Three games are really of interest to me. You had the game between the Lakers and the Pelicans, the Zion Williamson-LeBron James game. You also had the Bucks and the Raptors, as the Bucks do get their 50th win on the season. They do so on the road in the six in Toronto, as they do defeat Pascal Siakam, and I guess you even throw Drake in there because the Bucks weren't all that happy with Drake and all his antics last night. And the other game that I was interested in, was the Celtics and Trailblazers. As Jason Tatum and Perkins said when he was with us early in the week, Kendrick Perkins in studio, he said Jason Tatum's a top 10 player in the league. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet, but what we're seeing right now with Jason Tatum, it is completely different. It's the complete antithesis from where we were a year ago, as Jason Tatum was able to put in 36 points last night in his team's 118-106 victory over the Portland Trailblazers. But let's start, though, really with Zion and LeBron, as that was the game where I get home last night, and right away after doing the show, you want to go and you want to watch that game and see how it plays out. Now, you expected the Lakers were going to win, and the Lakers did that by getting the victory 118-109. At times, you know, the game was close. It was close in the fourth quarter before the Lakers did pull away. And even though all the star power and all the eyes are clearly with LeBron James and, you know, also Zion Williamson and Anthony Davis, too, you take a glance and you're seeing what's happening in this game, and you're seeing Alex Caruso, of all people. Alex Caruso ended up having a very big night with the block on Lonzo Ball, where that was a powerful block. And then he also had the between the legs pass to LeBron James before LeBron James slammed it down on, I believe, Josh Hart. So the Alex Caruso show, we all knew after going into a game where we're previewing it and we're talking about Brandon Ingram and we're talking about Lonzo Ball and we're talking about Zion Williamson and Anthony Davis and LeBron James, the player that we were going to be talking about right away, of course, was going to be Alex Caruso. But we do have to mention Alex Caruso with some of the plays that he made in that game last night in the 17 minutes when he was on the court. And he had a plus 20 and also adds in 8 points as well, going 3 of 5 from the field. But, you know, after we move on from the Caruso game with the two big plays by Alex Caruso, let's get into the superstars and let's get into LeBron and let's get into Zion. What we're seeing out of LeBron right now is just absurd. 17 of 27 last night, goes for 40 points, 5 of 11 from 3. And this Lakers team, you knew they were going to be good. The conversation going into the year with Western Conference was Lakers or Clippers. Before the season, I thought it was going to be the Clippers representing the West in the finals. You know, last few weeks, I've changed my tune on that. I would take the Lakers right now. LeBron just looks like he's on a mission. And it looks like right now, no one in the Western Conference is going to be able to do anything about it. Now, that doesn't mean he's definitely going to the finals, because we know with that Clippers team, just as long as if they are healthy, they're going to have a ton of depth and they play great defense. And we've seen this before where you may favor another team in the regular season. And when Kawhi Leonard gets into the postseason, it's very tough to bet against Kawhi Leonard. But if I had to tell you today, I think it's the Lakers and I think it's the Bucks that are going to the NBA Finals, and they'll battle it out. And that would be a fun one with the talking points of LeBron James going up against Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then, oh yeah, don't forget about that other player on the Lakers, you know, the VP of the Lakers, as I like to call him, in Anthony Davis. And then you got LeBron James as the president. So LeBron last night, absolutely ridiculous as he's been. And when LeBron did go to L.A., and I was one of these people, I questioned if that was the best basketball move. And I did not think it was the best basketball move. I thought that if he was leaving Cleveland, he should have stayed in the East. And he probably should have, you know, gone to the Philadelphia 76ers. He elected to go out West. When that move was being perceived, it was about the movies. It was about setting up his life after basketball and all that. And you're seeing LeBron this year after really overcoming the first adversity in his career, because if you look back at the rest of his career, if you want to call the Mavericks series in the finals adversity, I guess that is fair, but you knew that team was eventually going to win. Him losing a championship in Cleveland the first go around with no one basically on his team, like when Daniel Booby Gibson is one of the next best players, it's tough to get on him for that. If you want to look maybe at some of those Warriors championship losses, once again, I can't get him on him for that. He also won a championship there. But LeBron going to the Lakers, I doubted if he was ever going to win a championship again. And as we sit here currently on the 26th day of February, if you made me pick a team right now that I think is not only going to get to the championship, but win the championship, I'm going with the Lakers, and that's no disrespect to the Bucks. That's no disrespect to the Clippers, but it just shows the amount of respect that I have for LeBron James. And I think last year when that team was very dysfunctional, remember the inner fightings of Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson, and then LeBron also suffering the injury too. A lot of people were critical and a lot of people were lambasting and chastising LeBron James. And I think that served as a little motivation that he's using this year, maybe some secret motivation as he's alluded to in the past. When he left Miami and did go back to Cleveland this time around, I do believe there's motivation here and he's trying to prove everyone wrong. And it's really something when an all-time great player still at his age, and we see this in other sports too, but these all-time great players, what makes them great is that mentality and the slightest things, things that are probably really insignificant and trivial in their life, how they find a way to just get tuned up enough where they could channel that greatness once again on a basketball court and carry a chip on their shoulder, especially when LeBron James has accomplished so much in the annals of NBA history with all the accolades that he has won and all the championships he has won as well. So the Lakers in an excellent spot at 44-12. And really, you look at that game, Lakers and Pelicans, you also look at Zion Williamson, because what he's done now, 13 games in, 11 games of at least 20-plus points in the first 13, and we're only seeing the beginning of Zion Williamson in the NBA, only 13 games in. Last night goes for 29 points and 8 of 18, and only played 33 minutes as they're being careful with those minutes. There's sometimes as a fan, and I was one last night sitting on my couch, I'm saying, it's LeBron, it's Zion. I want to see this for every single minute of the game, LeBron, Zion, LeBron, Zion, LeBron, Zion, but you have to be careful and manage those minutes, especially with the injury that Zion Williamson is coming off of. But you know, when you look at these Lakers and the Pelicans are building the foundation this year, the Lakers are expected to win this year, it goes back to that trade this past summer, you know, in the offseason. It does, where you get Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. You have Brandon Ingram going to the Pelicans, Alonzo Ball, Josh Hart as well. And Brandon Ingram, we mentioned Jason Tatum and what he was able to do from last year to this year. How about Brandon Ingram? It's a complete difference as well. And he put in 34 points last night, going 12 of 20 from the field. So that was a fun Lakers-Pelicans game. And when I'm watching it, I had one thought. Other than the Lakers and my just belief in them and how much, you know, I really like that basketball team right now, but I want to see Lakers and Pelicans in the first round of the playoffs. With that being said, I don't think it's going to happen, but if you could give me, and we try to search for some storylines in the first round of the playoffs in the NBA, which is how long the format is, a lot of those series, a lot of those games in the first round end up being pedestrian. If you give me Zion going up against LeBron and Anthony Davis and Brandon Ingram too, mainly the Zion and LeBron card, I am all in for that, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Pelicans 25-33, Trailblazers in the ninth spot right now at 26-33, and then the Grizzlies at 28-29. With the way that they're going to manage those minutes, and which the way that that team is still in construction and developing in the Pelicans, I'm going to bet that either the Grizzlies or the Trailblazers find a way in as that eighth seed. And if it's the Grizzlies, you got Ja Morant up against LeBron. If it is the Portland Trailblazers, you do get Damian Lillard up against LeBron. So not terrible from a star standpoint in terms of stardom going up against LeBron James, but I don't think anything would top in that 1-8 matchup of a Lakers and Pelicans matchup in that first round because of Zion and King James. So that's what you got out west. And then the east, how about the Bucks? The Bucks are the team that, because they're not sexy, because they were the number one seed last year and didn't get it to the finals, the Bucks are a team that they're dominating the league. They got the best record in the league. They're 50-8. That's absolutely ridiculous, but still, we don't give the Bucks the credit that they deserve enough consistently, because maybe they get a little bland, maybe they get a little bit boring at times. You know, the Greek Freak is awesome, but when you're that good and you had the shortcomings of a year ago, and you know, me talking as a sports fan, I sit there and I go, let me just see the Bucks in the postseason. Let me not even see them in the first round. Let me just get them in the second round. And that's really, for me, when you're that dominant from the start, when the Bucks season will actually commence. And that Bucks team, and we know that the Raptors were able to hit threes last night, but what the Bucks are able to do, you talk about depth, they have it. Now, as we mentioned, the depth of the Clippers and what we're starting to see the depth develop with the Lakers, the Bucks have the depth. Eight players hit a three-point shot last night. And the Greek Freak goes 19 points, 19 rebounds, all defensive rebounds, and eight assists. And there will be a conversation about LeBron up against the Greek Freak for MVP. Right now, I go with the Greek Freak. I think Giannis will win back-to-back MVPs. So the Bucks and the Lakers, Bucks the kings of the East right now, and they're going to be the number one seed, and they should get to the finals. And in the West, the kings of the West right now, of course, are the Lakers, and I think they'll be in the finals. But when we look at the first-round matchups, and that thought did permeate last night when I was envisioning seeing Zion Williamson, LeBron, Pelicans, and Lakers go up in the first round, what are some other really good storylines for the first round? Now, I could get into in the Eastern Conference, Heat and Sixers, if you get that. The Jimmy Butler story, the Joel Embiid story. Jimmy Butler being a former Philadelphia 76er for half season, then leaving and in free agency, not going back to the Sixers. And you hear two things on the contract. The Sixers wanted him back. Jimmy Butler felt like he didn't want to get back, whatever it was. I could sign up and watch, you know, five, six, seven-game series in the first round of Heat and Sixers. That would be fun. How about Rockets and Thunder? You give me Westbrook up against CP3. With that trade, the Harden element to it as well, I like that one. Clippers and Mavericks. Give me a little Kawhi, Paul George, and Luka Doncic. And even Clippers and Thunder would be good. When you see PG3 and that trade that did have to get orchestrated for PG3 to go from the Thunder to Los Angeles Clippers. So those are some in the first round. Usually the first round of the NBA playoffs, unless if you get one of those years where an eight beats a one, and you usually get like one good series in the East and one good series in the West, it does feel watered down. It doesn't feel that entertaining. But if you give me some of those series, Pelicans, Lakers, Heat, Sixers, Rockets, Thunder, Clippers, Mavericks, or Clippers and Thunder, I could live with some of those. And those are some that do catch my eye in terms of attention. So what's a first-round matchup that you would like to see in the NBA? Number, as always, for the playoffs, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And a team that has won four in a row, the Houston Rockets, their owner said something the other day that I don't love. And this is a problem that I've had with the Rockets organization for the last few years. We'll get in and tell you what that is when we return. 19 after the hour, Zach Gill. Welcome on in on a Wednesday right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by good friends at Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Tweets are cracking me up at Zach Gelb. Dan Jensen says, Caruso to LBJ, the new Showtime Lakers. I like that. So much for AD and LeBron being the new Showtime Lakers. It's Alex Caruso blocking Lonzo Ball. Alex Caruso in between the legs pass to LeBron James for the thunderous slam. The new Showtime Lakers. I like that one. Jason Stevens says Rockets versus Jazz would be a classic seven-game battle that could go either way. That series would be fire. I think it'd be a good series if you gave me Rockets and Jazz in the first round. Calling any first round series a classic is a little bit of a stretch for me, but that could be a very fun and entertaining series. If we look at it right now, in the West, it would be Lakers and Grizzlies. You would have Nuggets and the Mavericks, Clippers and Thunder, And then you would get the Rockets and the Jazz. So in that example, you would get the Rockets and the Jazz. You would also get Clippers and Thunder, a series that I'd be okay with seeing in the first round. In the Eastern Conference, Bucks and Magics. Magic, that's going to be boring. Bucks will kill them. Raptors and Nets. Sorry, Mikey B. The Raptors will kill the Nets. Maybe the Nets get a game, but with no Kyrie Irving, no Kevin Durant, the Nets aren't winning that series. Celtics and Pacers, we saw that last year. I take the Celtics, even though Nate McMillan's team, I haven't been hot as of late, the 3-7 in the last 10. That team, I like their coach in McMillan. I take the Celtics, though, especially with what Tatum's doing this year. And then Heat and Sixers. So you could be Heat and Sixers. I get one of the first-round matchups that I want to see. And not terrible. And you give a little Clippers and Thunder and then Rockets and Jazz. I could live with that. I could. And even Nuggets-Mavericks wouldn't be awful. That wouldn't be terrible. With Luka, and you get to see Murray and Jokic for the Nuggets as well. So that's the way that you look at these playoff formats, and you see the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference shaping up right now. Let me get to a team, though, that is consistently in the playoffs and consistently disappoints, and that's the Houston Rockets. So I was reading this stuff from their owner, Tillman Fertitta, who said this: none of us fear L.A., the Lakers or Clippers, or Denver like we feared Golden State. He told Kirk Bowles of the Austin American-Statesman. It's not like how we were scared of them. We could easily win the West this year or get knocked out in the first round, he told Bowles. Both L.A. teams, Denver, Houston, were all excellent teams. We are all excellent teams. Just comes down to somebody getting hot and that makes a shot. Our chances are as good as they've ever been. I disagree with that last part, that his chances are as good as they've ever been. You don't have a lot of size. It's working right now. You have this new energy with Covington and Harden and also Russell Westbrook. And I understand the point that, yes, the Warriors at their peak were unstoppable. And even though I think the Lakers are getting into the finals this year, at least there is a conversation that exists of who's going to get to the finals, because it could be the Lakers or it could be the Clippers. But you had golden opportunities the last few years, and your team came up short immensely. And I would not love, if I was a player of that organization, if my owner is saying, even though it's a new Rocket team, but some of the same players still there, that the Rockets were scared pretty much of the Golden State Warriors. What kind of mentality is that? And this entire situation, and it's not just Tillman Fertitta, it's also Daryl Morey. There was so much real estate that was in the minds of Daryl Morey, owned by the Golden State Warriors, that he sent out a tweet after last year's postseason defeat, where the Warriors did take down the Rockets once again, that the Rockets versus the Warriors the last 2 years in the playoffs, Houston's 5-8, the rest of the NBA 5-34, and at the time, the Clippers were 2-4, Pels 1-4 up against the Golden State Warriors, Spurs 1-8, Cavs 1-8, Jazz 0-4, and the Blazers 0-6. Who cares? You lost. So I should give you a participation trophy and a moral support trophy because your team was 5-8 up against the Warriors and you challenged them? Now, let me tell you, Daryl Morey, how that worked out. Let me tell you, Tillman Fertitta, how that worked out. And Morey, by the way, he also said this to ESPN a few years ago. It's the only thing we think about, Morey said on ESPN radio. I think I'm not supposed to say that, but we're basically obsessed with how we beat the Warriors. Fine to be obsessed. But all these quotes, even when the Warriors are down and out right now, and I expect them to come back next year and be a pretty damn good basketball team, the Warriors are still in the minds of the Houston Rockets. And now Tillman Fertitta says that it's not like we're scared of them on like pretty much like how they were scared of the Golden State Warriors and how they feared the Golden State Warriors. Are you serious? That's what you're saying? And you're going to tell me your chances are as good as they've ever been? You still have to get through the Clippers and the Lakers. And your roster, I don't love it. And I still don't trust James Harden in the big game. Because this is how close you were the last few years. In 2018, you were up 3-2 on the verge of going to the finals. And you lose games 6-7. In that series also in 2018, there was a stretch where James Harden went 0 of 22 from 3. 0 of 22 from 3. Are you going to get closer than being one win away from the final like you were in 2018 this year? You're not. So your chances aren't as good as ever. And last year, it's 2-2. You're playing game 5. KD goes down with the injury. And James Harden scored how many points in the fourth quarter? 5. You lose that game 5. Harden barely shows up in the fourth quarter of that game 6. And he did nothing in that fourth, and you lose that one as well. I get that wasn't in the Western Conference Finals, the second round of the playoffs last year, but you're not going to get closer than being up 3-2 back in 2018, one win away from the final. You're not. And your small ball is working right now. I like D'Antoni. I don't trust, though, James Harden in a big moment. Maybe Russell Westbrook will make him a little bit of a better player in the big moment. Potentially. I don't think, though, that team's going to the finals. And I don't think they have a better shot this year to get to the finals than they did the last 2 years. Because the last 2 years, especially one of those years, they were literally knocking on the door and was about to burst through it. And then they weren't able to get one more victory in 2 tries. The Houston Rockets consistently come up short on a big stage. Over and over and over again. And now all of a sudden, just because the Warriors are down, and now Tillman Fertitta is like all excited. Oh, the Warriors are down. I'm going to believe that James Harden and Russell Westbrook, James and Anthony Davis, or James Harden and Russell Westbrook are going to defeat a, if they're healthy, Kawhi and Paul George? No way. I've seen LeBron dominate in the big moment. I've seen Kawhi dominate in the big moment. I have not seen James Harden in the playoffs show up when it matters. So you may be happy and genuflecting. Ah, party, party, party. The Warriors are no longer here. We're not scared of the Lakers and the Clippers and telling me that you got a better chance. You don't have a better chance because you're not going to the NBA Finals. You're not even going, I'll go as far as say this, you're not even going to the Western Conference Finals. You're not going to be as close as you were in 2018. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. Hang with us. Also, when we come back, we have the QB Carousel as well.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
We'll get to the QB carousel in just a moment. We'll find out which two teams' quarterbacks will be breaking down today. But first, let me take a phone call. Rick, listening on radio.com in Philly. Next up was Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio. Rick, what's happening, man?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing great. What you got for me?
To me, by far, I think the Sixers-Heat series would be the most fascinating and scintillating. When you think about all the storylines, first off, they got Jimmy Butler. And you know how despised he is in Philly. Every time he's back there, he's enemy number one because they all wanted to keep him here, and he wanted out so bad. He despises Ben Simmons. I think he's mended fences with Embiid, so you got that. And the other guys really didn't mesh with him well, like every other stop. And then when you think about the series, I think it was a year ago, the brawls. There was like 3 or 4 brawls that broke out that 5-game series.
Yeah, no, I was covering the Sixers still in Philly then. That was a physical 5-game series.
Yep.
Dwayne Wade was still playing in it too.
Yeah. And that was and each game, even though it was 5-game series, every game was serious close. So these teams really don't like each other. And then when you think about how similar these two teams are, and I've never seen two NBA teams be so dominant at home and be so brutal on the road. These are the two best home teams, and these are the two worst road teams in the league. And you know they're going to be battling for home court because neither of these teams can beat anybody on the road. So, and then when you think about Brett Brown being on the hot seat, so you know, he's going to be desperate. And then Embiid, you know, he wants to prove himself when he called himself the best player in the league. And, you know, he's going to want to prove something. So I think when you take all those storylines into mix it in a pot, I think that Sixers Heat series is going to be a beauty. And I really do hope it happens. I'm really interested to see who ends up in home court, because that could be decided, because neither of the teams can beat anybody on the road. So there's a half game up right now, I think, on Philadelphia. So what's your take on that? And then I wanted to get your thought. Is the MVP pretty much Giannis is to lose at this point? Do you think it's over, or can LeBron in this final stretch of the season overtake him and get that sentimental vote? Because I don't think he's won it in, what, 8 years, which is mind-boggling when you think about how dominant he's been for the majority of his career.
Well, here's what I always say with LeBron. I'll take your answers right here now, Rick. And thanks for calling in. With LeBron, the only way he can win the MVP now is if they're the number one overall seed in the West. And I think he's going to be the number one overall seed in the West. With how dominant LeBron's been, and his last MVP was 2013. He won in 2009, 2010, 2012, 2013. When you had a player of his caliber, you need to have basically a perfect season to win it, where you have to be, the record needs to be there and the performance needs to be there. Now, the performance is definitely there for LeBron James. The record is there too. When I look at the Greek Freak, though, his team being 50-8 and the season that he's having, when you see what he's doing with the 30-point games and at least 15 rebounds, he's going to win the MVP. I don't think there's enough, and there'll be a conversation, but I don't think there's enough LeBron could do at this stage of the season to totally take that MVP from Giannis Antetokounmpo. So Giannis, to me, will win back-to-back. But to his point about the Sixers and the Heat meeting up in the playoffs, out of all those matchups I name, Pelicans, Lakers, Rockets, Thunder, Clippers, Mavs, and potentially either Clippers or Thunder in that first round, that Heat-Sixers one would be the best one. I think that would be the best one in the East and the West. Rockets-Jazz could also be a very good one. But that, the matchups that I named earlier, Pelicans-Lakers, Heat-Sixers, Rockets-Thunder, Clippers-Mavs, and Clippers and Thunder, that Heat-Sixers one I think would be the best one, because either team could win that series. Pelicans and Lakers, the Lakers are going to win that series. Rockets and Thunder have a shot, but the Rockets are expected to win that series. Clippers and Mavs, there'd be a lot of hype with Luka. Clippers, though, are expected to win that series. And even if it's Clippers and Thunder, the Clippers are expected to win that series. The Heat and Sixers is an ultimate toss-up because, as he said, you look at their home records to their road records, Miami's 23-3 this year at home. They're 13-18 on the road. The Sixers, 27-2 at home, 9-20 on the road. Now, will Ben Simmons be back? Will he return? Will he be healthy? That's a storyline. And that last series, last time they played, that playoff year he was talking about, it was a lot of stuff going on with Hassan Whiteside and Joel Embiid. Now, Hassan Whiteside's no longer there, now being in Portland. But those two teams with the Butler factor, and Embiid and Butler are friendly. We see their Instagram posts. It indicates that they're friends, and who knows, maybe Embiid, if things go sour in Philly, will join Jimmy in South Beach with Pat and Spoelstra one day. Just tease it a little bit. But that Embiid, with the way that he plays to his home crowd, and how Butler, the Miami fan, if they show up on time for the game, they'll get behind him. And in Philly, it will be a complete boo fest. It will be a complete boo fest every time Jimmy Butler has the ball. So I'm all in for Heat and Sixers. All right, let's spin the QB carousel wheel.
Step right up here. Don't be shy.
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Houston Texans.
We start with Houston, and Bill O'Brien made some news this week. as he's delegating, or as Tom said the other day, maybe just trying to have another fall guy if something doesn't go his way. Tim Kelly will now call the plays. Let's listen up. This is Bill O'Brien of the Texans.
Tim Kelly's an excellent football coach. So Tim was a graduate assistant at Penn State. My first 2 years there, came to Houston, was a coaching assistant on offense, tight end coach, offensive coordinator, worked very closely with the offensive line when he was a coaching assistant and a tight end coach. Very hardworking guy. Guy that really cares about the players. The players really respect him, does a great job in a meeting room, on the practice field, does a great job on game day. He's just an excellent coach. And we have a great relationship. He's a great person. And, you know, we're excited for him to take the next step in his career here. He's going to coach the quarterbacks. He'll call the plays, and he'll do an excellent job.
I wonder where that conversation is a year from now if the Texans are disappointing and if they have an underwhelming season. You know, I thought Tim Kelly was a great guy, but don't point the fingers at me. You know, I'm the coach, the general manager here. I am the janitor. I'm also the person that serves people food in the buffet line. And I do it all here, but don't point the finger at me. It's this guy we promoted in Tim Kelly. He's going to call the plays. As much as I just raved about him, point all the fingers to him. We'll ax him, and somehow, even though I've axed like two other GMs, I'll still keep my job as Bill O'Brien, because the Texans will still be 10-6, maybe even 11-5. They'll get to the playoffs, and they won't get to a Super Bowl. Now, to their quarterback in Deshaun Watson. I think the world of Deshaun Watson. He has that great synergy and connection with also DeAndre Hopkins. And you hope that Fuller is able to get past these injury bugs, because we see at time how special of a combination Fuller and Hopkins can be as a 1-2 punch. My big concern with Deshaun Watson, who I think is a very good quarterback and one of the better younger quarterbacks in this league and a tremendous leader, and he is a winner, is that the environment that he's in is going to ultimately hold him back. Now, they got Tunsil, but they need to protect Deshaun Watson. You need to make sure that you could keep him upright. And he also needs to help out himself, too, knowing when to go down, knowing when to throw the ball out of bounds, and knowing that sometimes a zero play is not a bad play, instead of trying to get the extra yard or two. So that's very important, and that's always a process for a young quarterback. I know Deshaun Watson knows the right guy. I don't think the decision-making of the Texans, though, will get the best out of Deshaun Watson. So the quarterback's right, but now it's about making the right decisions. And with the track record that we've been judging on with Bill O'Brien, they get to the playoffs. That seems all okay, but they can't reach their apex because of some of the decision-making that they make there, in addition to the failure to protect Deshaun Watson. Spin the wheel.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Team that got to a Super Bowl this past year. Team that should have won the Super Bowl. Maybe if Jimmy G doesn't get a ball batted down at the line of scrimmage on 2nd and 5 when they should have run the football. Or if Jimmy G could hit Emmanuel Sanders, who was wide open on a 40-plus yard throw. Jimmy G, very good year number one as the quarterback for a full 16 games. Had some big moments, some big throws against the Cardinals, up against the Saints and at the Rams. Those two big third and long plays at the end of the season. However, in the playoffs, didn't do much in that NFC title game. Only threw the ball 8 times. And in the Super Bowl, had a lead and couldn't get the job done and couldn't make the big throw in the clutch. Let's hear his head coach and Kyle Shanahan, our offensive guru, talk about Jimmy G at the combine.
Jimmy deserves a ton of credit for what he did this year. I think people talk a little bit about how he was coming off an ACL, but I also think that people don't realize that was his first year playing quarterback in this league. I think he got 3 games with New England and he got 5 games with us. This is his first time going through a full season. You know, he had less games than Baker Mayfield going into his second year. And to do that with the pressure of also, to me, everyone thinking you've already arrived, and coming off an ACL. I thought there was as much pressure on him at the beginning of the year as anyone I've been around. And he just took it, handled it all year, and got better throughout the year, and was very impressed with him.
It's a good start for Jimmy G. But with how the way the season ended, you never know if you're going to get back. That's why he's deserving of criticism. But the ACL point is a fantastic one by Kyle Shanahan. Because I say this all the time with quarterbacks with ACL. I saw it with Tom Brady. Tore his ACL, was good that next year when he did return. But he didn't get back to Tom Brady form until the year after that. So if this is the start for Jimmy G, you take it. But will you ever get back to the big game? That's the question. And if you do get back to the big game, you better protect the lead, or in the clutch situations in the fourth quarter, you better make the big-time throw because you didn't do it the first time around. I like Jimmy G. I think Jimmy G's in a good spot. Is he going to be great, though? We shall see over time. That's the QB Carousel. It's a Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back in 5 minutes, the head men's basketball coach at Texas Tech, his team was in the championship game a year ago. Chris Beard is going to stop by as we have to discuss this matchup up against Texas this weekend. And they have a tough finish to the end of the regular season with Kansas and Baylor still on the schedule. So we'll learn more about the Texas Tech Red Raiders next on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Zach Gelb Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.